Perek Vav Mishnah Ches. So we're at the last Mishnah of the sixth Perek of Masechtas Brachos, Perek Ketzad Mevarchim. So just a little bit of an introduction to this final Mishnah. We're familiar with the Shivas Aminim, the Peiros Shenishtapcha Behen Eretz Yisrael. So there's seven Peiros that when the Torah sings the praise of Eretz Yisrael, mentions that Eretz Yisrael, amongst all the great things that it has those seven Peiros. So what are they? So really they're mentioned in Psukim in Parshas Ekev. The Pasuk is talking about Eretz Yisrael. Ki Hashem alekecha meviyacha el Eretz Toifa. The Pasuk says Hashem is going to be taking you to an Eretz Toifa. The land of Eretz Yisrael is Toifa. It's a good land. Eretz Nachlei Moyim, Ayonos Usahoimos, Yoitzim Babiku Vahar. It's a land that has water that's flowing. It flows from valleys, it flows from mountains. Eretz, it's a land that has Chita, wheat, Usa'ira, barley, Vegefen, grapes, Uta'ina, figs, Verimim, pomegranates, Eretz Eishemen. It's a land that has olive oil, Udvash. It also has honey, which Chazal said is referring to the honey that comes from Tamarim. It's the honey that comes from dates. Eretz, it's a land that if you want to eat bread, you don't have to eat bread through poverty. There's nothing lacking in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Asher Avoneo Barzel. It's a land whose stones are made of metal. And from its mountains, you can mine copper. V'yachalta, v'savata, uveirachta, sashem leikecha, ala oretz, hatoiva hashanasan lachem. When you're going to go to Eretz Yisrael, you're going to be able to eat from all these wonderful foods. V'savata, you'll be satisfied. And afterwards, you have an obligation to bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ala oretz hatoiva, on this wonderful land, hashanasan lach, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave. So the Pasuk is, again, singing the praise of Eretz Yisrael. And one of the things that it mentions is that there are seven foods that Eretz Yisrael has. Wheat, barley, grapes, figs, pomegranates, olive oil, and the honey that comes from dates. These seven foods are the Shivas Aminim. They're the Peiros Shenishtapcha Ben Eretz Yisrael, and they actually have a unique place in Halacha. Earlier in the Perek, we had Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, who said that if a person has a whole bunch of foods in front of him, they all have the same bracha. You're going to make one bracha that's going to pater all the foods. Which food should you use to make the bracha on? Rabbi Yehuda said, if one of the foods are from the Shivas Aminim, that's the one that you should make the bracha on. Because the Shivas Aminim are chashiv. What makes them chashiv? The Torah singled them out. When the Torah talked about how great Eretz Yisrael is and mentioned those seven minim. Clearly, there's something special and there's something unique about those seven minim. Our Mishnah now is going to talk about the Shivas Aminim, and it's going to mention another halacha that is nogeya the Shivas Aminim, and really is a result of the fact that these Shivas Aminim are very, very chashiv. Says the Mishnah, Achal te'enim v'anovim v'rimoinim. If somebody eats figs, grapes, or pomegranates, these are three examples of the Shivas Aminim. As a bracha achroina, after you finish eating, you have to make a bracha. What bracha do you make? Shalosh brachos. You make three brachos, also known as Birchas Hamazon. Divrei Rabbi Gamliel. That's the sheet of Rabbi Gamliel. So Rabbi Gamliel holds that if you eat from the Shivas Aminim, you make Birchas Hamazon. The Chachamim say, no, you don't bench after you eat Shivas Aminim. You bench after you eat bread, not Shivas Aminim. Rather, what bracha achrona do you make if you eat Shivas Aminim? Say the Chachamim, bracha achas, you make one bracha, may ein shalosh, which is really an abridged version of the three brachas. What does that mean? The three brachas of Birchas Hamazon are the bracha of Hazana Sa'olam Kulay Betuvay Bechem Bechesed Uvrachamim, the bracha of Noidalacha, and the bracha of Rachim. If you look more carefully at these three brachas, the essence of the bracha of Hazana Sa'olam is you're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving you sustenance, for giving you food. Noidalacha, you're referring to Eretz Yisrael. Noidalacha, Hashem Alekeinu. And Rachim no Hashem leikenu Yisrael amecha vayirushalayim irecha, which concludes uvenei Yerushalayim rakodesh b'meir biyomenu baruch atah Hashem boyne berachma v'Yerushalayim amen. That talks about Yerushalayim. So really, the three brachas of benching are one talking about food, two talking about Eretz Yisrael, and three talking about Yerushalayim. What the Chachamim say you should do after you eat from the Shivas Aminim is you should make one bracha, but that one bracha in its toichen should really reference these three ideas. It's the bracha that we know as Ala Michya. And if you look carefully at Ala Michya, that's really what you're saying. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. Ala Michya V'ala Kalkola. What is that? That's hazan. You're thanking Hashem for the food. You're describing Eretz Yisrael. That's Yerushalayim. So whereas Rabbi Gamliel says you're supposed to bench after you eat from the Shiva Samidim because they're so chashev, the Chacham say, I agree, it's very chashev. But not chashev enough for there to be a chiyuv birchas hamazon. But rather, birchas hamazon is only for food. What then do you do? A special bracha achrayna, the bracha achrayna that we know as the alamich. Rabbi Kiva is a third sheet. Rabbi Kiva says, afilu ochal shelek, v'hum ezoine. If a person would eat shelek, a cooked vegetable, and v'hum ezoine, this is what he eats, this is his food, this is his meal, mevarich achar of shalish bracha, is after you finish eating, you would bench. Mishnah King includes, unrelated, and says, if somebody is thirsty and he drinks water, you make a bracha rishayna, shakol niya bedvari. Everybody knows that. What's the chiddush? The chiddush says the Rav, Bar Tanura, is not that if you're thirsty and you drink, you make a shakol niya bedvari. The chiddush is that only if you're thirsty and you drink, do you make a shakol niya bedvari. What if somebody's drinking water not because he's thirsty? So for example, you have to take medication, swallow a pill. So you have to drink a little bit of water in order for the pill to be able to go down. Then you wouldn't make a shakol niya bedvari. Because only someone that's shoysem mayim litzmai, only if you're drinking because you're thirsty, it's then that you make shakol niya bedvari. Rab Tarfin says, boirin nefashas rabbis, that the bracha rishoyna, the bracha that you make before you drink water, is the bracha, not of shakol niya bedvari, the bracha of boirin nefashas rabbis. Everyone knows we don't paskin like Rab Tarfin. We paskin that if you drink a glass of water, you make a shakol niya bedvari after you drink the water. As a bracha achroina, you would make boirin nefashas rabbis. And this concludes the sixth perek, the classic perek, Perek Ketzad Mevarch. So Perek Zayin Mishnah, the seventh Perek of Masechtas Brachos, talks about the laws of Birchas Hamazon. So whereas the first Perek, the sixth Perek, meaning the previous Perek, talked about the laws of Bracha Rishayna, this next Perek talks about Bracha Achroina, specifically Birchas Hamazon. So really the last mission of the sixth Perek talked a little bit about Birchas Hamazon, but new Perek, new introduction, so we'll talk just very, very briefly about Birchas Hamazon. So number one, Birchas Hamazon is unique as far as brachos goes in that the obligation to bench is an obligation midairaisa. So as much as we said that Birchas Hanehenin is only a mitzvah derabanan, Birchas Hamazon is a mitzvah derayisa. In fact, it's unique in that it's one of two brachos that are derayisa. So all the brachos that were going to see more of now in the coming days are derabanan. The two exceptions to the rule are Birchas Hamazon and Birchas HaTayr. So Birchas Hamazon and Birchas HaTayr, those are two examples of brachas where the obligation to make the bracha is not an obligation midirabanan, but rather it's an obligation midirayisa. Now what's the makar to make Birchas Hamazon midirayisa? It's a pasuk in the Torah. It says, V'yachalta v'savatu v'erachto es Hashem aloikecho ala oretz hatoiv asher nasanoch. It's pretty straightforward. It says clearly, V'yachalta, you'll eat, v'savatu, you'll be satisfied, u'v'erachto es Hashem aloikecho. You now have an obligation, you have a chiyuv to bench. So you see clearly that there's an idea to make Birchas Hamazon. It's a passing in the Torah. Thus, it's no different than any other mitzvah deraisa. This is a mitzvah deraisa to bench. We saw in the previous Mishnah, Machlokes Tanan, when you're obligated to bench. But we passing like the Chachamim, not like Rabbi Gamliel, who was quoted in that Mishnah. And we hold that the only time you bench is if you eat bread. The question is, how much bread do you have to eat? So the truth is, if you read the passing, it sounds like V'yachalta v'savat, you have to be satisfied. And only if you eat a sheer sviya are you chayev in Birchas Hamazon midei rice, and that's the halacha. Stating that we're machmer. And we hold that if a person eats a kezayis or a kebeyetz, machloikis, remain, Rabbi Yehuda, that would already be enough for one to be chayev in Birchas Hamazon. So midei rice, Birchas Hamazon is only if you eat a sheer sviya. But when you do eat a sheer sviya, there's an obligation midday rice to the bench. Now, another thing we saw in the previous Mishnah is that there's an idea of shalosh brachas of Birchas Hamazon. The truth is, if you look more carefully, Birchas Hamazon is really not made up of three brachas. It's really made up of four brachas. The first bracha is the bracha of Hazon. The second bracha is Noydalcha, which talks about Eretz Yisrael. The third bracha is the bracha of Uvenei Yerushalayim, Rachimna, which talks about Yerushalayim. But then there's a fourth bracha. The fourth bracha is the bracha that's known as hatoyva hametev. Baruch atah Hashem alekenu melech ha'olam. Hakel avinu malkenu adirenu bayrenu gealenu yaitzrenu hamelech hatoyva hametev la'kol shabchol yom yom. It ends with mikol tov la'olam ayichasrenu. So really, it's not three brachas. It's four brachas. So why the previous Mishnah say three brachas? So you have to take a step back. The reason is as follows. The first three brachas of Berachas Hamazon are brachas midairaisa. The fourth bracha, the bracha of Atoiva Meitiv, that's only a bracha that a person has to make midirabanan. Now, just to understand it a little bit better, the three brachas that you have to make midairaisa. The first bracha we said is the bracha of Azan. We're thanking Hashem for giving us mazon, for giving us food. The second bracha is the bracha of Eretz Yisrael, Noida Lecha, Ala Oretz, Shem Chalta Laviseinu. And the third bracha is Uvnei Yerushalayim, that's the bracha of Yerushalayim. What's the makar to those three brachas? Mechtese. It says in the Torah, V'yachalta V'savatu V'erachta. It says in the Torah, you have to talk about Eretz Yisrael. It says in the Torah, you have to talk about Yerushalayim. The short answer is yes. It says, V'yachalta V'savatu V'erachta Hashem Elokecha, So of course the ikar bracha is for the food that you just ate. So of course it's a bracha vazon. But in addition to that, the pasuk also says al ha'aretz hatoiva. We're throwing in Eretz Yisrael. Ha'aretz, that's Eretz Yisrael. Hatoiva is the mufchar, the shufra of Eretz Yisrael, which is Yerushalayim, and that's how you know not midrabana, midairais is a real drasha that when you bench HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not enough to thank Hashem for the food. But it's uveirachta es Hashem alekecha la'aretz atoiva. And that's why there's three brachas. You have the bracha vazon for the food. That's the ikar. And then we mention Eretz Yisrael. That's ala'aretz. And we mention Yerushalayim. That's atoiva. So there's a makar for three brachas. And that's why the three brachas, one is obligated to make midday rice. Stating that, the Gemara says that there was a time in history where Chazal instituted a fourth bracha. And that fourth bracha was instituted about 100 or so years after Churban Bayis Sheni, and it was instituted by the Chachamim in Yavna. And the context was that many years after the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the Jews rebelled against the Roman Empire. They were still under the governance of the Roman, and they rebelled against the Romans. Now, they didn't just do it in the Weltbeirein. The reason they did it was because there was a Yid whose name was Bar Kochva, and Bar Kochva had shown certain simanim that he might be Moshiach. In fact, Rabbi Akiva and the Gedolim of that door, the Rambam says, when Noisei Kalev Shal Bar Koichva, they were literally carrying his Kalev. They believed that he was Mashiach. And in the spirit of Mashiach coming and redeeming the Yidden, Bar Koichva went, he rebelled against the Roman Empire. Unfortunately, Bar Koichva was not Mashiach. The rebellion was quashed. The Romans took revenge, and the revenge that they took is that they went and attacked one of the cities where there were many, many, many Jews living in. It was the city of Beitar. And they didn't just attack it. They plowed it. They literally destroyed the entire city. And in fact, it was such a churban that the Rambam, when he describes churban Beitar, he says that it was kashali Yisrael kiyoyim shecharav Beis HaMikdash. It was literally like Tisha B'Av. It was like the day the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. In fact, the Mishnah says that it happened on Tisha B'Av. It was one of the five things that took place on Tisha B'Av. But that was churban Beitar. Now, after the Yidden and Beitar were killed, the Romans, they were so nasty, they didn't even let the Yidden go and bury all the corpses, all the people that had died. And these bodies, they lie there for years and years. Finally, when the Jews were allowed to go bury them, so they went to Beitar, and they want to go ahead and they want to bury all the Harugim, and they saw that a miracle that took place. What happened was, it's Lo Hisricho. The bodies hadn't decomposed, and they were able to get a proper kfura. They knew who the people were. They were able to give a levaya. People were able to have yard site, right? It was seen as an incredible miracle within all the tsaris that happened with Churban Beitar. But this was a mayor de gazach. And the Gemara says, Oisei ayoyim shenitnu haruge Beitar l'kfura. That day that the haruge Beitar were allowed to be buried, tiknu b'yavna, they made a takon in Yavna. Hatoiv ha-metev, the bracha hatoiv ha-metev. Hatoiv shelo yasrichu, hatoiv, thanking Hashem for the fact that Lo Yisrichu, the bodies didn't decompose, Vameitev Shenitnu L'Kfur, and Vameitev, the fact that they were allowed to bury them. And this bracha, Vatoy Vameitev, was incorporated into Berachas HaMazon. Interesting. So now Berachas HaMazon wouldn't be made up of three brachas, but now Berachas HaMazon would be made up of four brachas. Again, you have four brachas of Berachas HaMazon, three that are Deiraisa, four that's Derabbanan. There's a Magen Avraham that says that even though usually whenever you have a Safik Derabbanan, you go L'Kula, but when it comes to a suffix related to the bracha toiva meitiv, we treat it a little bit more stringently. We treat it a little bit like a deraisa. And he says, because even though the bracha of toiva meitiv is a derabanan, but it was incorporated into a mitzvah deraisa, brachas hamazon is a mitzvah deraisa, the first three brachas are a deraisa, The fourth one's only the Rabbanan. It takes on a chumra v'deiraisa. And the Magen Avraham says beautifully. He says, imagine someone has a safik. Did I bench or not bench? So what are you going to do? The first three brachas are deiraisa. So you can, l'chumra, you're going to go ahead and you're going to recite the first three brachas. The fourth one's only the Rabbanan. The fourth one, you're not going to bench. That's a tremendous zilzal, he said, under the Rabbanan. Oh, be machmer for those, because those are important. That one, oh, that's from the rabbis. That's from Yavne. That's from Rabbi Akiva's dar. That's not something I have to be so machmer on. It's a zilzal under the Rabbanan. So it's for that reason, when it comes to a Safik Birchas HaMazon, says the Magen Avraham, not only are we machmer for the first three brachas, we're machmer for the fourth bracha as well. But this is just the introduction to the daf. The top to the Mishnah. First time that happened. What the Mishnah is going to talk about is the laws, not so much of Birchas HaMazon, that too, but also the laws of Zimun. So what's Zimun? We're all familiar with Zimun. If three Yidden eat together, you don't just bench, but rather one person leads the benching. He says, Raboisai Mevelim benching, Raboisai Nevarech. Everybody says, yeah, Baruch Shachalim Mishaloi, Nevaruch Shachalim Mishaloi Chayinu, right? Whatever the Nusach is. So everybody goes ahead and everybody benches together. So what's that all about? What's this inyan of Zimun? So first of all, it's a din d'rabbanan, just to be clear. Midday rice, you don't have to do that. Midday rice, you just have to bench. This whole idea of Zimun is only a din d'rabbanan. But what is the din d'rabbanan of Zimun? Basically, the concept is that if three people are eating together, it's a nice thing to not just bless Hashem individually, but come together as a quorum and do it b'roiv am. And that's what's happening. The word Zimun is miloshen hazmana. Right? Hazmana is a summons. It's also an invitation. So one person is coming. He's inviting everybody else to go and bench together with him. Nevarech, let's go together and let's bless She'achalnu Mishaloi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from whose food we've just eaten. So it's just a hidur in the benching, and that's what you do. So there's a mitzvah that's a sub-mitzvah to the mitzvah of Birchas HaMazon. That's the mitzvah of Zimun. Birchas HaMazon itself is deiraisa. Zimun is the Rabbanan. By the way, in the olden days, the way Zimun worked was the person that was mezamein, the person that said Raboisai Mevelim Benchin, he was actually the only one that benched. Everybody else would just listen quietly and patiently, intently to every single word that he said. It's still the minig of people that follow the Vilna Gaon. That's what they do. Regardless, says the Mishnah, Shloisha Shachu Keachet, if three people eat together, Chayav and Lazami, they have an obligation to do Zimun. They have an obligation not to bench individually, but rather to bench together as a group. Achal d'may, says the Mishnah, what happens if this group of people, or even if one of the people, ate d'may? So what's d'may? D'may is if somebody buys peiros from an Amma Oretz. And an Amma Oretz in this context is someone that's chashud, we can't trust them 100% that he gives all the trumas and maestras that he's supposed to get. Now, midday raisa, if somebody buys peiros from Amma Oretz, he's allowed to assume that really the Amma Oretz gave the trumas and maestras. It's based on a mitzios. The Gemara says that roiv Amma Oretz were maaser. Most of the Amma Oretz used to give maaser, but there were some that didn't. And the Rabbanon said that you should be chayash l'miyuta. We should be concerned that maybe the Amma Oretz that you bought is from the minority that didn't, and therefore be mafresh trumas and maestras. But being that when a person buys demai, his whole obligation to be mafresh trumas and maestras is only midrabbanon. It's only because of a chashash, which is a miut, it's a minority possibility that we have an issue over here. Even the rabbanon allowed you to be mekel. So therefore, if someone eats demai, even though what he's eating is not lekatchila, but the evidence, it's okay. Or umaiser rishon shnitlo trumasoi. Or if a levi is eating maiser rishon after he already was mafresh his truma gedayla. So a levi received Maaser Rishon. When he got his Maaser Rishon, he had to give Truma Gedayla. Until he gives Truma Gedayla, he's not allowed to eat the Maaser Rishon. Once he gives Truma Gedayla, he's allowed to eat the Maaser Rishon. Or Maaser Sheni veHektish Aniftu. Or if somebody ate Maaser Sheni or Hektish after he was Poided already. What's Maaser Sheni? Maaser Sheni is one of the Maasers that a person had to give during certain years of the Shemitah cycle. The Halach of Maaser Sheni was it had to be eaten in Yerushalayim. If you wanted to eat Maaser Sheni outside Yerushalayim, you can, but you had to redeem it. You had to be Poided. So you had to transfer the Kedusha from the Peiros onto money. Then you can eat the peiros wherever you want. Hektish is the same thing. Hektish has kedusha. If you want to eat hektish outside of Yerushalayim, if you want to eat hektish in a state where it's not going to be kaddish, you can do it, but only if you're first paid it, you first redeem it. So the bottom line is, if someone eats demai or maaser rishon after the trumas were given, or if someone ate maaser sheni and hektish after you were paid it in a proper way, shamash achal kezayis, or the waiter ate a kezayis, so the person was waiting the table, but he sat down and he partook a little bit in the meal, the hakuti. So Kutim were people that came from a place called Kuta. That's a lengthy conversation. That's beyond the scope of this Mishnah. But they were of questionable Geirus. There was a whole Shaila amongst the Tanoim and even the Amiram, whether the Kutim were Geirei Emes, they were legitimate Geirim, or they were Geirei Arayas. Whether they were Geirim that had only become Geirim because of Arayas, with an aleph, because there were lions that had attacked, and as a result, they were afraid, they were scared, and that's why they became Geirim. This Mishnah is of the opinion that a Kusi is a regular Yid, Geiri and the same, and therefore says the Mishnah regarding this whole group, Mizamdin Aleim, they all count from Zimun. So this was just a long-winded group that talks about different types of people or different types of foods that if you ate then, the halacha is, together with two other Yidden, you'd be chayiv in Zimun. Ochal tevel, avol ochal tevel. If somebody would eat tevel, that's Paris that you didn't give Trumas or Maisers from. Umaiser Rishon, or somebody eats Maiser Rishon, Shaloi Nitla Trumasai, where you didn't give Truma. Umaiser Sheni Vahakdish, Shaloi Niftor. If somebody eats Maiser Sheni and Hakdish outside of Yerushalayim when he was employed, or Vashamish Achal, the Shamish ate, but Pachas mi Gizayas, he ate less than a Gizayas. Vahanachri, or if a non Jew would eat, a Mizamnin Aleim, the halacha is, you wouldn't be Mizamnin. So really, the Mishnah has a Resha and a Seifa. The Resha and the Mishnah is people and foods that are included in Zimun, and then you have people and foods that are not. And it's really a contrast. So for example, Ochal Demai, that's Peiros, where you didn't give Chumas or Maestras, but you bought it from an Amma Oretz, where Alpi Roiv, he probably gave Chumas or Maestras. It does count. That was the Resha. What was the Sefer? Ochal Tevel, if you ate Tevel, it's not going to count. Maestr Rishon Shenitl Truma, so yeah. What did the Sefer say? Maestr Rishon Shaloi Nitl Truma, so no. Maestr Sheni Vehekta Sheniftu, yeah. Maaseh sheni vehekdesh shaloi niftu. No, hashamish ochal kezayis. That's good. Hashamish ochal pachas mikezayis. No, and then akuti, even though he's questionable, but geiri emes. That's what the Mishnah holds. So mezamnin aleim. Vahanochri, he's for sure not a yid, and as a result, he does not count for zimun.